Our speaker today has a long history of denominational service. Most recently, he was the chief financial officer for the South Asia Division. But to several people here, he's known as Chitra's dad. So I welcome Elder Robert Clive, and I ask that God bless him as he delivers our message today.
Good morning, church. I want to thank our church pastor for inviting me to share the word of God with you this Sabbath. Only believe Jesus can fix it. That is the title for our message today. And I would like us to open our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Returning from Gergesa to the western shore, Jesus found a multitude gathered to receive him at the shore, and they greeted him with joy. And so Jesus remained there for a while, teaching and healing, and then he repaired to the house of Levi Matthew to meet the publicans at the feast. You know, Christ's association with Matthew, with publicans and with sinners, to the point of even going to them to eat with them, brought some very piercing accusations by the Jewish leaders. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You find that in Luke chapter 15, verse 2. You know, accusing one another is an age-old problem. The pen of inspiration in Testimonies to Church, volume 5, verse page 287. Accusing the brethren is the very work Satan wants to be engaged in since his fall. This is what sometimes, as believers, we are engaged in nowadays. The work of accusing instead of going about the Father's business. Jesus, rather God, has given to each one of us a role, but we are interested in what others are doing or not doing than what you are supposed to be doing for the sake of God. The primary work of every believer is to be active in taking the gospel to the world. But we read again, there are men who are ever talking and gossiping and bearing false witness, who sow the seeds of discord and engender strife. But the man, let me say this to you, but the man who is injured is in a far less dangerous position than the one who is accusing. But heaven looks upon such people who accuse the brethren as Satan's most efficient servants, who divert the minds of people from doing God's work. While Jesus was at the house of Levi Matthew, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, found him. Let us pick up this story from Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Keep your Bible open to this chapter. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Many preachers have used this story time and again to drive lessons for our spiritual edification in the life of every believer. You know, Jairus was an important man in his community. He was one of the rulers of the synagogue. He may not have been involved in priestly ministry, but he was a manager of the synagogue. As such, Jairus possessed power, privilege, prestige, position, and prominence. He was a wealthy man with a fine home and servants. He was a religious man who faithfully practiced the Jewish faith. Most of the synagogues had been close to Jesus and his ministry, so it must have taken a lot of courage for Jairus to believe in and seek help from Jesus. Much is not known about Jairus, but what we do know is that he had a little daughter around 12 years old. I'm sure there are girls here who are aged 12. And at 12, she was in a transitional, alluring age, just young enough to still be a girl, but old enough to enjoy the sins of womanhood. At the age of 12, Jairus' daughter was like a colt ready to run its first race, like a flower sending forth its first fragrance. But now, Jairus finds his daughter to be deathly ill. And so at this moment in the life of Jairus, none of the things that usually matter to him mattered in the least. You know, sickness and the possibility of death had visited the home of Jairus, and none of these things that mattered in his life could drive them away. His power, his money, his position in the community, or even his religion were all powerless in the face of these two enemies. Sickness and death. Let me just remind you that tragedy doesn't care who you are. Many of us may have experienced it. Tragedy doesn't care who you are. The trials of life are not going to pass you by. Job chapter 14 verse 1. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. John chapter 16 verse 33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Tragedy doesn't care that you go to church and pay your tithes. Sickness and death could care less about your achievements and your assets in life. This reality must have hit Jairus' heart. His little daughter was dying and he needed help. Jairus needed help that none of his resources could provide. For our edification this morning, this Sabbath, we can draw. In fact, there are several lessons that we can draw from this story, but we shall consider five lessons this morning. Firstly, lesson number one. When the trials of life come upon you, lesson number one, come to Jesus. When the trials of life come upon you, come to Jesus. Verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. When the trials of life come upon you, come to Jesus. Jairus came to Jesus. Ever since sin entered the world, human race has faced great problems. Sometimes we face a health problem that has no cure. Many people suffer from sickness and disease. You may be facing a broken relationship as far as your family is concerned. That is something that you cannot, that is impossible for you to reconcile. Some may be facing a financial crisis that is too great for you to overcome. Jairus is desperate and he turns to the man named Jesus for the help he needed. You know, the ministry of Jesus was rejected and was almost banned by the Jewish people. But Jairus, being a ruler of the synagogue, knowing that the ministry of Jesus was not acceptable to them, he took courage to come to Jesus. We don't know how it may be. Or regardless of whether he heard about the miracles that Jesus performed and that just a touch from Jesus would bring healing, either he has heard about it or he saw himself with his own eyes. But Jairus believed that Jesus can do this for his own daughter. He believes the Lord's touch will bring healing to his child. When the trials of life come, you need a resource outside of yourself. And Jairus knew that when death, sickness, sorrow, marital trouble, financial trouble, or any sort of trouble comes, you need more than some religion or the stuff of this world. What do you need? You need faith. You need faith. Faith that rests in Jesus and in his power alone. Jesus says, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. And so, we read here, do not be afraid. Come to Jesus because he can fix any problem. And so when the trials of life come upon you, first, come to Jesus. Don't go to anybody else. Secondly, when you come to Jesus, don't come along with your preconceived ideas. I can quote right from this, but I want to go to another book, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. Let us briefly look at this verse. What does this verse say? But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, this is what I want you to consider. What did he say? Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. The two words that almost kept Naaman from his miracle are, I thought. I thought. Very often, we think we are smarter than God. That form of self-deception has been coming from thousands of years. Naaman had a preconceived idea of how he was going to be healed and how the miracle was going to happen. And so he describes it. He thought the prophet will come out to him and lift his hand and strike on the place of his leprosy so that he can be healed. Naaman was desperately in need of help. He came to Jesus. Probably he knelt and he said, please. And he is trying to describe how Jesus had to heal him. How often we come to Jesus, we approach him with our problems. You kneel in prayer and you plead with him. But many times, in the process, instead of letting God do what he is supposed to do, instead of seeking God's help, we seek to guide God. We come with preconceived ideas. Sometimes we feel that God has to be logical. God has to make sense to you. Somebody said, just because it's the logical way doesn't mean that is God's way. How many times we look at the so-called solutions to our problems and say it is not logical. I don't think that is the way God should be doing. Just because it is the logical way doesn't mean that it is God's way. Just because it has happened that way does not mean that it will happen next time. Stay open. If you are narrow-minded, you can miss God's best. Stay open. You cannot keep God in a box. You can't tell God what he is supposed to do. Oftentimes, we place our problems at the foot of Jesus Christ. But the next moment, we try to control him. We try to control him. When you come to Jesus, don't come with preconceived ideas, because God's ways are not our ways. God knows what he is doing. You need to trust him. Let him do it his way. You may not understand it at that time, but eventually you will understand, because God's ways are always the best way. His plans are better than your plan. You may have your own I thought situations, but God has his own plans, and you can be sure it is always better plan. God uses unconventional methods to respond to your requests. God used Rahab, the prostitute, to save the people of Israel. A donkey to speak to the prophet. Pharaoh's daughter to take care of baby Moses. God used the enemy to take care of one of his children. God is God. He can do whatever he wants to do, but don't put him in a box with your preconceived ideas. I thought ideas and become discouraged and miss your miracle. Take note of this. When the troubles of life come upon you, first, come to Jesus. Most often, Jesus, as we come to Jesus as the last resort. We explore every other option. But this story brings us this very important lesson. Come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, don't bring your preconceived ideas. Thirdly, always remember that our Savior is a compassionate Savior. While Jesus is sensitive to our need, remember, He is also sensitive to the need at hand. Let us pick up this story from Mark chapter 5, verse 28 and 34. For she said, I may be touched. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, Jairus' appeal granted him an appointment with Jesus, and Jesus began to make his way through the crowd of people to go to his house. But the disciples were not very happy. Disciples were not happy that Jesus gave an appointment to this haughty rabbi. They were not happy, but still they were following the master, waiting eagerly to find out what will happen. The ruler's house was not very far, but Jesus and the disciples were moving very slowly because on every side people were pressing Jesus because the crowd was too much. And when Jesus was moving slowly and he was being pressed on every side, a very sick woman touches his garments and is healed. And Jesus stops to confront and comfort this woman. And as he does, precious minutes pass by. I would imagine, and I want you to imagine, that Jairus, the thought process that was going through Jairus. Jairus was trying to hurry Jesus because his daughter was at the point of death. But Jesus seems to be delaying the process. He is so much concerned about what is happening at hand. After all, his daughter was in the dying process. I am sure as parents, you would understand how desperate Jairus must have been to get home as quickly as possible. She may die at any time, but the woman Jesus took time out on the way to his house could be healed some other time as well, because her disease was not life-threatening yet. It is very possible that Jairus knew this woman and her condition. And if so, he knows that she had been sick for 12 years and it is not something that is threatening her life. Perhaps he wondered about the priorities of Jesus. Why was he stopping here and there when he gave, when Jesus gave an appointment to him, why was he stopping here and there? Are the priorities of Jesus different? To the human mind, where common sense prevails, surely the dying person for whom every second matters needs to be attended first. Yes, all of us can agree to that. Imagine you have your own child and about to die, and you are taking her to some place, and in between you are stopped by so many traffic congestion. What will you think? How can I delay taking my daughter to the hospital? We don't know what was going on in the mind of Jairus during this interruption. He was probably waiting impatiently. If you have ever had a very sick child, you know how it must have gripped his heart. He may be thinking that waiting another hour for our healing would have killed this woman. Would not have killed this woman, but that 1 hour could be the last hour for his dying daughter. On the surface, the Lord's delay does seem a little insensitive. But Jesus knows the seriousness of the situation. He knows the broken heart of the Father. He knows the urgency of the need. But Jesus pauses to take care of the need at hand. The pen of inspiration says, the anxious father was impatient of delay, but Jesus, pitying the people, stopped now and then to relieve some suffering one or to comfort a troubled heart. Therefore, while Jesus is sensitive to our needs and wants to meet our needs, we must always keep in mind that the compassionate Savior is also sensitive to the need at hand. The stopping and the delays may seem insensitive and harsh on the surface, but have some deep, important lessons to teach us. God doesn't run on our schedule. God doesn't run on our schedule or our timetable. God is not bound by the constraints of time and space like you and I are constrained. Number two, he answers to our requests are sometimes instant, sometimes delayed, or sometimes denied. But we need to trust him to the best of our ability anyway. Three, the delays of life are designed to increase our faith. Take for example, you take a Joseph and throw him in a pit and then into slavery and then into prison, and out of the delay, God will give you the prime minister of Egypt and a man of God. When God doesn't move as quickly as you might like, trust him still, because God is seldom early and never late. When God doesn't make sense, keep trusting him. He is working in ways you can't see to accomplish what you can't imagine. And so when you come to Jesus, when the problems of life overwhelm you, don't come to Jesus with preconceived ideas. Remember that our Savior is compassionate and is willing to meet our needs, But he may be delayed because he is meeting the need. He is meeting the need at hand. And so, lesson number 4. Cancel not your appointment with God. Cancel not your appointment with God. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain. In other, it is interpreted as some men which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? You know, Jairus had an appointment with God. Jesus was now scheduled to come to the house, but there was a delay. A woman in the crowd reached out and seemingly took the anointing designated for this little girl. What was Jairus to think about that now? No doubt, fear was gripped. Fear has gripped his heart. You see, he was looking for healing. He was looking for his daughter to be saved, but the time was running out. And so while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue's ruler. The daughter is dead, they said. Why troublest thou the master any further? I'm sure as soon as Jairus heard these words, he would have been heartbroken and dejected. Surely this news must have for a few moments attacked the faith that Jairus had on Jesus and his power. The news must have rocked Jairus to his foundations. It is natural that we pray and seek God's intervention when someone is sick and still alive. But when the person dies, we don't really pray the same prayer. The news brought by some men was meant to cancel the appointment of God. If Jesus was going to Jairus' house at the request of Jairus, he very well could have turned around if Jairus had requested him to do so and told Jesus, now there is no need for you to come to my home. But Jesus was the one who took the initiative to go to his house. They are trying to tell Jairus there was no more need to pray, no more need to plan, no more need to hope, no more need to smile, no more need to continue with the master's visit because the girl has died. If he had listened to these men, Jairus would have cancelled his appointment he had set with God. I'm convinced that part of the reason that this miracle is recorded is to briefly give us a small picture of an aspect of spiritual warfare that we are all involved in. If the devil can merely just get you to listen to this little voice of doubt, failure, and half-truth through some men, much of his battle is completed. Many times we have to contend with the voices of these some men. Some negative voices that will come from the past. Some negative voices that will come from the failures of yesterday. Some will come from the doubts of tomorrow. Some will come from the well-intentioned and practical people. Some will come from those satisfied with the status quo. We may also have to contend with the voice of the terrible tempter. Trouble not the master. There is no use you praying. Trouble not the master. Your problem is too difficult. Trouble not the master. The Lord cannot do anything for you. Trouble not the master. This is just a part of life and it cannot be changed. Trouble not the master. And we are filled with doubt as to what he really can do for us. And they said, trouble not the master. The child is already dead. The cause is lost. Now there is no use. I want to tell you that listening to the wrong voices will divert your focus from the master and onto some men who gleefully are carriers of sad news. And these carriers of sad news are many in our midst. But pay no attention at all to them. Anytime something noble and great needs to be done, you can count on having to face problems in life. You will never be free from the problems. You will encounter those problems. When someone whispered discouraging news, Jesus summoned Jairus and said, Jairus, I heard what they told you. Ignore them. Keep on believing. The journey is still on. We are not stopping here. We are not changing the plan. You believed me when you came to me. Believe me now when you are with me. And so Jairus took courage and he kept on. When they arrived home, Jesus raised the young girl from death. Thank God, with Jesus, there is nothing that is the end or the beginning, for he is Alpha and Omega, the end and the beginning. And so when the trials of life come upon you, come to Jesus. When you come to Jesus, do not bring your preconceived ideas along. But remember that our Savior is compassionate and is willing to meet our needs while he is sensitive to the needs at hand. But when there is delay, don't cancel your appointment with God. There are some men who are always there to push you back in your focus of putting your hand in the hand of God. Don't cancel your appointment. Finally, when the trials of life come upon you, don't be afraid. Only believe. Jesus can fix it. Mark chapter 5, verse 36 and 41. He said, be not afraid, only believe. So Jesus heard the words of these some men, the news of the girl's death. Jesus also knows the fear that rests upon the heart of Jairus. Therefore, the ever compassionate Savior says to him, be not afraid, only believe. Jesus is saying, Jairus, don't believe what you hear. Don't believe what you know. Verse 38 to 39. Don't believe what you see. Verse 40. Most of all, don't believe what you think. Trust me, he is saying, Jairus, you believed me when you came to me a few moments ago. Keep on believing in me now. Have faith. Some men will always try to cancel your appointment with God. But beware of these some men. What is today's takeaway? What is it for us today? When there seems to be no hope at all, believe Jesus. When the answer to your prayers are delayed, still believe Jesus. When your prayers are not answered according to your expectations, believe Jesus. When you are ridiculed for your faith, believe Jesus. When you are looking at a hopeless situation, believe Jesus. When sickness comes, believe Jesus. When death comes, believe Jesus. The bearers of bad news will always come. But the author of good news is always in control. Regardless of the situation, you can trust him with absolute confidence. You can always depend on the Lord because he is always there to do right. Trust him. And so when the problems of life surround you, when the problems of life strangle you, when the problems of life overwhelm you, don't be afraid. Only believe. Jesus can fix it. Dearly beloved, when the troubles of life come upon you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, now and always. Amen.